started going here, I hadn't played in almost 20 years. And so I was banging really, really hard. Don Holstrom, who can't hear, asked me, "Man, would you stop playing so loud?" Poor Don, it was hurting his, what's this, ear, hearing aid. All right. Saturday morning, August, or October 1st, and a lovely day here in New Braunfels. Well, as you can see, Brother Jerry is not here, and I'm here instead. Brother Jerry is teaching an Acts seminar over in the Houston area, so he will not be here today, but he will be here tomorrow online. And I want to thank everybody who remembered to pray for Brother Jerry last week. We really appreciate it. It was a tragic time as far as the funeral was concerned, but the words that were spoken, the words of the Lord in the Word of God, were the absolute exact words that needed to be said as a result of what happened in that funeral and the things that were said. It's just amazing. Brother Jerry shared with me over an hour of all the things that happened and the people's response to the Word of God at the funeral. And my goodness, there were so many people there that didn't know the Lord, but yet there were quite a few that did and really knew, wanted to hear what God had to say through His Word, even at a funeral. And so it's just amazing what God does, and God does every time when we commit ourselves to Him and His Word. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Turn over to the book of James. We're going to just read one verse out of it, but we're going to talk about a gift. And it's not through James will get it. We'll understand how God gives gifts, but we're going to see the gift difference between not only the church, the body of Christ, but the church, the kingdom of heaven, and how the gifts are slightly different in the purpose the Holy Spirit has for them. Book of James, chapter 1. We're going to read one verse. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from God, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Doesn't take it back, doesn't change his mind. He doesn't have a degree of how he's going to give it. He gives it as he gives and has no shifting in that giving. Well, I don't know if you really deserve this. No, there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. With that mind, turn to your left to Acts chapter 1. Or 2, I'm sorry, 2. I'm sorry, turn over to John first. I forgot my first part. Turn to John chapter 4. I guess I should wear my glasses when I read. All right, chapter 4. Look at verse 13. He's talking to a woman at the well. Well, let's go ahead and start with verse 11. The woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast..." Start in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water, the water from the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well, him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now turn over to your right just a few chapters and look at chapter 7. Chapter 7 of John, talking a little bit more about this water. And it was a gift. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking with you, you would ask for this living water, is what he told the woman. Look at chapter 7, verse 37. "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood," of the Passover feast, "Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now look at the next verse in parentheses. "But this he spake he of the Spirit," capital S, "which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given, not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And there was a purpose in the Holy Ghost in working in this manner. Christ had to be glorified first. The gift would come next. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. In fact, let me go ahead and put this up here. The gift, now we see it's the Holy Ghost given. And that's going to be a key, this first part in the kingdom of heaven, saints. They get a gift. Look at this in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 37. Now, Peter had just preached a long sermon and shown them how they had crucified their Lord of glory, their own Messiah and their Savior. Now, when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, how do we get saved?" "No, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The gift of the Holy Ghost, "for the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord shall God shall call." And so the gift is the Holy Ghost given to people who repent of their sin of crucifying the Lord, and they come back to God because they're already God's children. The children of Israel are God's children. They haven't been rejected yet losing their salvation, the opportunity to get saved. They're God's people. So when Peter says, just repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift. The gift is given, the Holy Ghost, because, as they said, turn over to Acts chapter 10. And I'll get to what John the Baptist said too, as Peter recalls it. But first, let's see the gift that's given here in chapter 10. Peter goes to Cornelius and preaches most of the gospel of God and doesn't finish his whole sermon, and then the Holy Ghost falls on them. Look at verse 44. "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them." These are Gentiles now, Gentile men, "which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter," there were six of them, "because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Now look in chapter 11. Peter goes to Jerusalem and he has a problem there with the people there, because he said, "You went down to Gentiles and ate with them? Oh, you naughty man." But Peter rehearsed the whole story, how God did it all. And look at verse 14 of chapter 11. Well, 15. "And as I began to speak," Peter speaking, "the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that Christ said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" So the gift given is because of the people who are already, look in verse chapter 10 again. Peter says in verse 34 of chapter 10, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." If they're accepted with him, if they're away from the fellowship, they need to repent and come back to God. And in this dispensation where the kingdom of God is going forth, the preaching of the message, it's the gift of the Holy Ghost that gives them the ability to live according to the law and live as the Lord called them to live. Sell everything you have, come and follow him, take up your cross and die daily. You're going to die for your faith. So it's the gift of the Holy Ghost that they get to empowers them to live as they should live and live and hold out to the very end. We're not baptized with the Holy Ghost in that manner. They're baptized. In fact, back to chapter 11, in verse 16, Peter says, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." With the Holy Ghost. We're baptized by the Holy Ghost. and there's a specific purpose in how the Holy Spirit works in our lives versus working in the lives of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven saints repent and be baptized, get filled with the Holy Ghost. They do a certain job. They hold out to the end. They keep the law. They sell everything they have, and they preach Jesus Christ, yes, resurrected from the dead, and they preach Jesus Christ is coming back again to give them the second, the new covenant, which is going to be Jesus Christ coming back in heaven, from heaven with all the angels, and they clean up this earth, and they set up an earthly rule, a 1,000-year reign, with Christ as a head, of course. We preach Jesus Christ, Him resurrected, but they never preached Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again. They preached that Christ, God raised Him from the dead. You crucified Him, God raised Him from the dead. He's the Messiah, believe on Him. And so with the book of Acts as it continues on, we start seeing the change in ministry between Paul and Peter. Now turn over to the right in Ephesians. I'm going to spend a little time now showing how this gift is different. They get the gift of the Holy Ghost, kingdom of heaven, but you never once see what we're fixing to read. Peter says, kingdom of heaven, gifts, Holy Ghost. Out of your river, belly shall flow rivers of water. It's living water, and it's exuberance, and such the joy the Holy Spirit brings, the peace that the Holy Spirit brings, the comfort. And on it goes. The Holy Spirit is the whole mechanism behind the person. And I'm, please forgive me for saying mechanism. He's the person behind the saints living a life that they should live. And it brings joy, peace, comfort, and on it goes. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And He leads people back to the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone says they have the Holy Ghost and they don't start speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, question them. Why aren't you talking about the Lord? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will speak of me. He will glorify me. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit's job then is to get people to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, their Messiah. Now, the difference here in the ministry of the Holy Spirit starts with this part right here in Ephesians chapter 2. First of all, you've got to get a gift. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So a gift is of salvation. Grace are you saved through faith, it is the gift of God. And He gives a free gift, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And we'll get back to that in just a little later on. So the gift is of salvation. Now, the differences here are going to show that we get a gift, body of Christ, can this be seen? Can y'all see this? Okay, all right, the black's going bad, and body of Christ, our gift, this is even worse. Starts with, and watch this, turn over to chapter 4. Look at verse 7 of chapter 4. But unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It starts out with salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And what do you get in this gift? You get Christ. And we're going to see a few things that just amazes me. You've seen this over and over in scriptures, but how it unfolds, it's a gift. Salvation is our gift, and it gives us Christ. And guess what that gives us? We have everything. Look in verse, go back to chapter 1. Now remember, it's the gift of Christ. In fact, I'm going to reread that verse, 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. When you receive that gift, you get a measure of something. In fact, before we read chapter 2, chapter 1, turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll go back to Ephesians in just a moment. I'm sorry about that. I probably should have wrote this down as an outline. Chapter 12 of Romans. Look at let's start with verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, is that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, studying the word of God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, a serious way of thinking, according to God, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Remember, it was the measure of the gift of Christ in Ephesians chapter 4. The measure of faith. This word measures is just like taking your tape measure and measuring a certain distance. It has, or a instrument for measuring. It is a way of measuring, measure of faith. And how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn to Romans chapter 1. The measure of faith we're talking about for a moment in verse 17 of chapter 1. For therein is the righteousness of God in the gospel of Christ revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith to faith. Light received brings more light. You want more light? Receive the light that you have. Light. More light. You want more light? Keep accepting and believing the light that you have right here in Scripture. Faith to faith, little by little, here a little, there a little, Isaiah 28:13. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Getting God's Word, believing it, and not understanding everything, but believe that you have God's Word there. He will open up the door to you in understanding if you believe it and seek it with all your heart. Seek the Lord of this Bible. Trust Christ first. Trust Christ that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again for your justification. Get the salvation, the gift. Trusting Christ gives you a gift, and we're fixing to find out all the ramifications of getting that gift. But looking again, verse 3, I want to get this last measure. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, I was reading in Romans chapter 12, I didn't tell you to turn there, the measure of faith. How do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. Therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, faith to faith. On, build upon that faith, build upon that faith, because we trust God's word, we believe it, and we study it, and God reveals more of it to us. It's like learning about salvation. Sometimes my thing was getting saved from the fires of hell. It scared me that I would be going to hell if I died. Some people trust Christ out of frustration with their own life, or they hear that they need a Savior. Whatever the reason was that they trusted Christ, praise God. I don't care what it was, did you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He gives you Christ, the gift, which is manifested in all these little areas here. In fact, I'm going to do this a little bit more properly. Now, just as the kingdom of heaven saints received this gift of the Holy Ghost, they believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They believe that God raised Him from the dead. They receive a gift. Well, the body of Christ, we trust Christ as for our Savior. We believe that He died for our sins, that He paid the price, not of works, that lest any man should boast, that we trust God's gift, the free gift of salvation, is Christ. And then Christ equals everything we're fixing to find out and see. It's a gift. And remember that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, turn back to Ephesians. I also bring greetings from Arlington, Texas. I was in Arlington last Sunday and with the group up there in Arlington, and they just send their sincere greetings, and the joy that they are sharing of what God's doing in the assembly up there in Arlington is wonderful. It's tremendous to see God pouring out His Word through people and them taking upon the responsibility of teaching themselves and studying the Word out for themselves. But it's growing up there because people are getting excited what God's doing, and they're just inviting people. I think there's about 35 people there last week. It was a good assembly. It was good food too. A good way to get bribed to come up to Arlington. But it was a wonderful time, and they do send their sincere greetings to you. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to try to set this like a Romco commercial. This is not, it's not all. We get Christ, for by say, or for grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Guess what? We get the Holy Spirit, and I probably should have told you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or 12 first. I'll just read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We get Christ, we get the Holy Spirit immediately. He baptizes us into the body of Christ, and then these things start happening. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Oh, this is just one of those wonderful things. Blessings. All blessings. And my printing is horrible, but it's all blessings. That's what that says. All blessings. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy, without blame, no blame. And guess how God does it? He doesn't do it because you need it. I mean, yes, we do. We need it. Or he's mad at us or anything else. He does it because he loves us in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, adopted as a child, adopted adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And if you remember what we just read, and I know it may get blocked out by the pulpit here, but it's accepted in the beloved. Think about what Peter said to Cornelius. Him that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. We're not accepted of him. We're enemies. We're far off from God. We're aliens. We are children of disobedience. We're not accepted, but he makes us accepted in the beloved. There's a big difference in those who Peter preached to. Worketh righteousness, and worketh righteousness and feareth God is accepted of him. We're made accepted in the beloved in Christ, because of what Christ did for us and him paying for the price of our sins. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. We've been redeemed back. We've been bought back. We'll see how that forgiveness, complete forgiveness, because of what Christ did for us. This is the gift of Christ. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And that's not all, folks. Let's continue on. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Whoa, it's just getting better and better. Wisdom and prudence. And this list could go on and on and on, and I won't have enough space on the board to write everything. But look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. He makes known to us many things. The mystery. Revealed. How that we were enemies of God and God made us accepted in the blood. He shows us how that through this mystery that we can be forgiven of our sins for what Christ did for us on the cross. And look in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, this is getting to be incredible. An inheritance. An inheritance. I before E except after C. Yep. I spell it right. Inheritance. We have an inheritance. What is that? Heaven above, far above all heavens, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, what? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, a sealing, sealed by the Holy Spirit. These are just part of what we have. This is the gift. Now, turn over to, we'll look at verse 17. We have this option available to us now, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And on it goes. These are things that God wants us to have, the understanding. He gives us the ability to have this understanding, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these things are spiritually discerned. And we study God's Word, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We study the Word of God, we get understanding, we find out who we are in Christ, as we read last week in Philemon verse 6, that the effectual communication, that your communication may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing you have in Jesus Christ. These are just part of the things we have in Jesus Christ. A few of them, sealed by the Holy Spirit, an inheritance, a mystery revealed to us, wisdom and prudence given to us, redemption, forgiveness of sins. We're not condemned of any sort. All spiritual blessings. We are holy and without blame. We are adopted into the family, accepted in the blood. He made us accepted. And that's just a partial list. Let's continue on. Turn over back to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4. And verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts, plural, unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He ascended, and look at verse 11, and he gave some apostles. Think about this one thing at first. He gave us apostles. And we have this chief apostle in the sense that he was the first one. He would claim, and we would all agree, that we're no better than anyone else. But he did give Paul a message. Our first apostle was Apostle Paul. Barnabas was considered an apostle. He'd seen the Lord. But Paul saw him from heaven, and he was an apostle. He's our apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, and it was a gift given unto us. Look in verse 11 again. Some apostles and some prophets. Well, they needed prophets because they had not completed the Word of God. So prophets prophesied God's Word, proclaimed it. Prophets gave out God's Word. As Paul has been revealed by the Apostle Paul, the prophets proclaim it. Now, some evangelists, some people are good at just going out and telling people about Christ, and some are quieter than others. Some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, these gifts are for this purpose, verse 12 and 13. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and the result till we all come in the unity of the faith, oh, that would be wonderful, the unity of the faith, comma, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Again, that word measure, measuring the ability we gain in knowledge and understanding of Christ, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thinking about a body growing as a child grows in his puberty, and then he grows more and more. The same way we grow as we study the Word of God, we start expanding our stature and standing up upright like a man. We understand God's Word like a man, like Paul said in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I did things as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I stood on my feet erect and stood straight and tall because I was a man. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. We stand true in God's Word. We stand strong in God's Word. We learn to not only defend it, but to proclaim it properly. I was listening online, I saw another Berean Bible Church out of Washington, so I downloaded the podcast to see if they were people who understood the Word of God and rightly divided it. And I started listening. Within five minutes, this guy has no clue of what he's talking about. And it just goes on and on and on. Book of Acts, he was reading out of the Book of Acts and showing how God showed us an example of how to live, of giving our stuff and selling things and giving to other people's needs. And he never read the verse where it says they sold all that they had. They sold everything and gave it to the apostles, and they laid it at their feet. He never once understood the gospel of the kingdom versus the gospel. It was just that the message started in Jerusalem, and it was growing and going, and it finally started reaching out to the Gentiles through Paul, and not realize that these people were persecuted, and that Paul was saved by grace. It just blows me away, the simplicity of the gospel of Christ and the Word of God. When you rightly divide the Word of truth, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, knowing what is for you and what's not for you. Building an ark is not for me. Living by the law is not for me. According for salvation, if you want to stay straight and true and not get a ticket, then obey the law. But the law for salvation, there's no way. I trust Christ. I take the gift of Christ, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We get the gift of Christ, gives us the Holy Spirit. These are just some of the things we get. Look at also verse, hold verse chapter 4, turn over to Philippians. That part of verse 13 which says, unto a perfect man of the knowledge of Son of God, unto a perfect man. Look at back, or look over in Philippians to your right, chapter 3, and look at verse 12, or verse 10. Start with verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10 of Philippians. That I may know Him, Son of God, Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. This was many years into His ministry. In fact, this is when He is at Rome in prison. And He says, that I might know Him. Didn't He already know Him? He knew Him as a Savior, and He knew all the things that we had in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes a lifetime, and a lifetime after that, and a lifetime after that, just to get the tip of the iceberg of what God is and who He is through Christ. We will never have full understanding. In fact, let's continue on. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, haven't got there yet, either were already perfect, not there yet either, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Christ has me. I want to gain more of Christ. I haven't attained yet. I haven't got there yet. But verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature man, be thus minded, and on it goes. The thing is as long as we have breath in this body, search the Scriptures, study who you are in Christ, that you may know Him, that we may know Him. And the more we know, the more we realize we don't know about our Lord and Savior. It is a continual, thank goodness it's a continual way of learning. And in fact, in our feeble human bodies, we always, hopefully, we learn something every day. It's always wonderful to learn things. I learned something new yesterday on the construction trade. That was amazing. And a simple thing, and it was simple to him, but to me it was something brand new. And the same thing with the Word of God. Learning from the Word of God and finding out more about who our Savior is. I still remember the time I told Brother Jerry, when he was telling me between Romans and Philemon, that it would be our main doctrine. We preach the whole Bible, but the main doctrine, I kept thinking it was a limitation on 13 books. And after a year of studying, writing, and dividing, I realized goes on for infinity. This will be infinite wisdom. We will never even touch the tip of the ice or a drop in the ocean. It comes to understanding that our God, His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher and His thoughts are higher. In fact, I was reading again in Isaiah, I think it and it comes to pass. The Lord thinks and it's going to happen. He doesn't have to say it. He just thinks it. It's going to happen. That's just amazing about our God. He is so wonderful, but we don't have any clue really of who He really is until we get into this book and start studying. The unsearchable riches of Christ are now made searchable through this book, Romans to Philemon, especially our doctrine for us, the church, the body of Christ. You want to understand what the gift is, the good and perfect gift from God? It's Christ. Trust Christ. Get salvation. Realize that you need a Savior. We're no good in this flesh. We need a Savior. We need somebody to save us. Christ saves us. Gives us the Holy Spirit, baptizes us in the body of Christ, and again, all these things. And this is not all. Turn back to Ephesians. Look at chapter 3. Yes, back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18. As we continue on this Ronco commercial, and that's not all, folks. Not only do we get all these things, but for no additional charge, you get this. For through Him we both have access, verse 18 of chapter 2, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access to God. Before, what do we have access to? Air. That's it, because God was not hearing a person who does not know Him. He wants to hear that point in time when you trust Christ. Then you're made accepted in the beloved. You're made part of the body of Christ. He will hear your prayers. Won't say He won't answer every one of them, but He will hear you and give you peace as a result of it. Like last Saturday when I asked people to pray for Brother Jerry, and the words that were spoken at the funeral, you've got to realize this funeral is a result of a lady whose brother passed away. And the mom and dad asked this lady who has salvation. She's rightly dividing the word of truth and has a Bible study in her home. She calls Brother Jerry. She's in Houston, calls Brother Jerry, would you just do this funeral? Because the parents said, find somebody to do this funeral. Because the parents don't know anything about spirituality, religion, anything. They don't attend church. They don't care for church. But when tragedy happens, what do? You look for comfort and you look for peace because something's gone awry. It's gone bad. And we have no answers. Well, she called up Brother Jerry because she wanted somebody who knew the Word of God to do the funeral. And praise God, it was a hard thing to do, as Brother Jerry shared. It was a hard funeral to preach. And yet, God answers the prayer and gives the words that need to be spoken to an audience, not to condemn this man who's done something he probably shouldn't have done, to kill himself, but to show the whole who's left. There is hope. There is hope in Christ. And number one, we don't even know if this person didn't trust Christ right before he died. We have no clue. But it sure is wonderful to know when you know somebody is laying on, well, their body's laying on in a casket, and you know their testimony, that is comforting. We don't know about this gentleman last week, and hopefully he trusted Christ. It was just despair in the flesh, and it finally caught up with him. But she called Brother Jerry, he did the funeral, and we prayed for him. God definitely answered the prayer. It's the words we speak out of the Word of God that makes the difference. It's not us. It's not anything we would add to the gospel of Christ. We preach the gospel of Christ, the gift of Christ, and let God take care of the results. Praise God. He takes care of it. The things that were shared with Brother Jerry after the funeral, before and after the funeral, was just amazing. So I know the Lord took care of the whole situation. It's just amazing how God turns all things around. Satan meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Whew, man. Thank goodness we have a wonderful God. Now, as we continue, in verse 18 it says, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look in chapter 3. We'll build on that access to the Spirit. Verse 11 of chapter 3. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now watch this, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, faith of Christ, the faith of Him. We have access with boldness. We have boldness and access with confidence. The Spirit gives us access unto the Father. But we have boldness and confidence as we approach God because we have a Savior. Think about this. As we saw that He made it, we are holy and without blame in love. God loves us because He loves His Son and we're in Christ. In fact, I hope I can remember this verse. It's been a while since I've read it. Let's see if I can turn to it real quick. I will not find, I'll probably not find it. But anyway, it says, beloved of God. Now, it's exactly what it means. And it's called agapimenos in Greek. It's middle. It's middle, and it's loved by God for himself. Beloved of God. It's loved by God for, it's not selfish love, it's love, it's all mine. Loved by God for himself. The same word, agapimenos. Loved by God for himself. It's the most highest love that we could ever describe, and yet it's for himself. I love you for himself. That's how God loves us. We are in Christ, he loves us for himself. That's why we are in his purpose, and he has all things for us. That he gives us Christ, and when we have Christ, we have everything that we need. Everything we need. Praise God. Turn, in fact, hold Ephesians, turn to Colossians. In verse 10 of chapter 2 of Colossians, it says, and ye are complete in him. What else would you need? What else would you need for salvation? What else would you need for the gift? And we're still not finished. Turn back to Ephesians. And that's not all, folks. We're going to continue on. Verse 16. We'll start in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we saw earlier, renewed in the mind, renewing the Word of God. Be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Remember, we just saw faith to faith. There in the gospel of Christ was revealed from faith to faith. We're building them on faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we have faith by hearing the word of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It's not asking Jesus into your heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. No, that's you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And this starts that process of knowing Christ in all the days of our life as we grow and grow and grow in grace. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Do you remember where this type of passage is revealed in? Or I'm sorry, this type of wording is used in Romans chapter 8. Nor depth, nor height, nor breadth, or anything shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. The same terminology that Paul uses here. That to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, verse 19, that you may be filled, might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this is one of the passages I love. Now unto him, God, that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is the power? The gospel of Christ. Christ died for us. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it's according to that power that raised Christ from the dead that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That is a wonderful prayer that Paul prays, but it's for you. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Trust the Lord. In fact, in Malachi, he told the Israelites, prove me, test me, see if I'll open up the windows of heaven, because they were cheating God out of the tithes for the church, the church of Israel on the land. In the same way, in the Old Testament, God said, prove me, test me, I can be faithful. Be faithful to me. In the same way, be faithful to God's word. Trust the Lord and watch what he can do. Test him in his word. Turn over to, we're going to come back to Ephesians, but turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Chapter 11, I'm sorry. Chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, by faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke it. Let there be light. We understand by faith the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He created it out of nothing. He said, let there be light. Let there be water. Let there be this. Let there be that. He created everything out of nothing. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, please Him. For he that cometh to God, us that cometh to God, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is in third person. First person says, I am. God, you must believe that He is. He is the God that can save you through Jesus Christ. The Israelites are believing that He is the only and true God. That He is God. I am, the great I am. That's what they had to believe, that He was the one that raised Christ from the dead. We trust in Jesus Christ. The gift of Christ is given unto us. It gives us the Holy Spirit, and on it goes. The gifts are different. The gift was the purpose of the Holy Spirit for the kingdom of heaven, saints, to do the things that they needed to do within the kingdom of heaven, heaven realm. We can't hold out to the end. There are some days our faith is worthless because we're really down in the dumps. Not theirs. Holy Spirit gave them. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit to hold out and endure unto the end, whether torture or whatever it might be. The Holy Spirit is given to us as the gift of Christ, who seals us into the day of redemption, and then He, the Holy Spirit, does all this. Boom. All these things. And folks, that's still not all. Turn back to Ephesians. I think it was Brother Kirk Christ who gave us a list of 47 different things that we have in Christ. And I think more that we study, the more we realize how much we really have. Well, the last gift that we have is what God gives to us. Look in verse chapter 4. Now, I already expounded on, he gave some, verse 11, it says, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And here is the purpose for these things, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, folks, ladies and gentlemen, whoever is might be listening online, our last gift is given to us and no one else in this dispensation. We are the only ones that have it all. Turn to 2 Timothy. If you have a gift and the giver and the recipient, the one who has the gift has to do what to the recipient? Give the gift. I'm giving you a gift. Please take it. The recipient has to receive it. I receive it. Thank you. It is not hard when you have a gift on the birthday for a 10-year-old boy or girl. When you give a gift, they'll snatch it out of your hands. And so it should be, because they're excited to get that gift. And the same way God gives us gifts, and He gives us the gift of Christ, but look at the last gift we have. Now, this doesn't negate all the ones that I haven't listed on the board that are part of who we are in Christ. We're running out of time, and we also want to show you how important the last gift is. Look in verse 16. All Scripture is given. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We do need pastors and teachers, and we need fellowship around the Word of God. But when it comes down to brass tacks and everything else, all you need really is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You really don't need anything else except the Word of God. That's when you come to this fellowship, you're going to hear the Word of God and nothing else. If we give our opinion, that's all it is our opinion. But the Word of God is what we need, because it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. In verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In fact, chapter 2 of Ephesians says we are His workmanship, God's workmanship. He's the one that creates us. And how do we become effective? By acknowledging every good thing that we have in Jesus Christ. All these things and more of what we have in Christ gives us 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us, pushes us forward. Because we have all these wonderful things in Christ, and we see what God has done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross, and that everything that we have in Christ, it just fills us to overwhelming joy and satisfaction and contentment and love. It pushes us forward to tell other people about it. God's will is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That's my purpose every day. God's will that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Do I witness to every person I walk into, or walk and meet? No. I'm looking for an opportunity, but it doesn't preclude that God would have all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And the last gift is given. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and on it goes. So the importance is having the Word of God and knowing who you are in Christ by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trusting that He died for you and was buried and rose again for your justification. Believe that that is your gospel, and He'll save you. He will save you, and then you have everything we listed here in Christ. And it's all because of this gift, the gift we have. The gift up here for the kingdom of heaven was the Holy Spirit to live as they ought to live. And they were rejoicing in what they had. When you get this gift, you don't understand everything you have until you start studying the Word of God and realize what you have in Christ. Start studying the gift you have, the last one. Now, I would say it's the last one given to us. We have an inheritance coming. We will receive it, that portion, when we die or are resurrected, as far as rapture is concerned, that will be realized. But we already have it. It's ours. Our ticket for reservation has already been made, so that when the Lord comes back from heaven with a shout, boom, our ticket's already been stamped. We're gone. We're out of here. And another little thing on the side note, we're just passing through. We're not home yet. Our home is in heaven, far above all heavens, with Christ Himself. We're just not home yet. I wish we were, but we're not yet. So that means there has to be 1, 2, 20, a million more to be saved. Whoever it might be, trust Christ. Know that He died for you, and you'll receive this gift. The gift of Christ, as it says in Ephesians 4, verse 7, and of course, the Holy Spirit baptizes into the body of Christ, and you have it all. All of it. God doesn't hold back anything. You are complete in Christ. Receive the gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift. God gives us a gift. Now receive it. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians, God has reconciled us to the world to Himself. Now be ye reconciled to God. And that's all I have, folks. Does anybody have any questions, comments, arrows? I want to thank you for being online today. And for those who are here, Joe, Brother Mike, Chuck, on and on it goes. Thank you for being here. Brother Jerry will be back tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock online for those who are watching online, and we look forward to seeing and hearing from you. If you have any questions, Brother Jerry has his question and answer time tomorrow night at 7:30. Was there any questions, Brother Chuck? Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Dwayne. Thank you. I almost thought he was going to call you to come do the Bible study this morning, but Dwayne just said that that was a gift. Well, it's the Word of God is the gift, and praise God for it. And thank you. And look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow morning here or online. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy it.